We are, this morning is a pretty exciting time for me personally, and hope we'll all enjoy this process. We are, we're going to, in churchy terms, this is kind of an installation service. I'm not even sure what that means. I talked to Danny Byram, who probably has the most exposure to different forms and different models of ministry and different churches and different cities as anybody I've ever met. And he goes, it's just completely weird. Sometimes a guy just shows up on stage and everybody goes, is he the new guy? Yep, he's the new guy. Okay, well, here we go. And other times it's very formal. And I watched one from a primarily black church, and it was really, really fun and engaging and exciting and a big party. Our conversation this morning is probably going to be somewhere in the middle of that. And I do want to just mention for your internal clock, there will be food right after this, but we may go a little longer than normal just to make sure we get this all accomplished. Hopefully that'll be okay. One of the things I was just kind of reflecting on through this whole process is the value of ceremony, the value of saying, okay, there's this distinct thing, there's something that happens, and we say words, and we look each other in the eye, and we make agreements, we affirm things, we kind of center that something, that is something, we all kind of stop and agree to it. And when we think about pastoral leadership, when we think about function of the church, when we think about all those things, this morning, the way I would love to be considering this is we're all kind of sitting around looking at this thing called church and relationship and mission and kingdom and role and biblical hierarchy and all those things, and go, that's the way we see that. That's, we have right expectations, we have right sense of responsibility, and we all kind of come to this place of agreement where I was wrestling with is, are we making a commitment? No, I don't think it's really a commitment. I think it's an agreement. I think it's, we're affirming something. We're saying, yes, this is the process. And I just want to say, before we dive into this, I mean, we're going to go high level for just a moment here, and then Nathan's going to come up. Did you get the wireless, by the way? Got it. Good. I just want to, first of all, say what an incredible gift Nathan has been, Nathan and his whole family have been to me personally. His choice to come and serve us, to bring himself, to take on this mantle. I've not been in a situation, and I realize there's lots of ways this gets done and lots of expressions of the body of Christ, but in my world, this has never happened before where I've seen a guy come in, step in, and go, these are not my people, but I'm gonna make them my people. I'm gonna jump in and I'm gonna take responsibility. And there's a lot of faith, there's a lot of risk, there's a lot of choice and love and service and identity stuff that comes to flow from that. And I just want to commend that in him. And really understand that people don't have to make those choices. We have an opportunity to receive something today. You were at prayer, we talked about that, having that posture of accepting things from God as they flow in. And what we're doing today will change our future. Based on what happens day by day, there are these moments, these junctures, where the whole future potentially looks very different. Sometimes those are very small things. They don't seem like a big deal when they're occurring, and it changes everything. Sometimes they're tragedies. Sometimes they're choices, investments. And I just want to recenter again on this idea that Nathan and Kimberly and the kids coming and joining us and participating in this, we will have a different future. They will have a different future as a family, and we as a flock will have a different future because of that choice and to be expecting good things from God in that. So ecclesia, it's really the Greek word for church, called out ones, separate ones, a congregation. It was actually just an assembly in a universal sense, not related to faith. It's just this gathering, and that's really what the church is. And I want to paint just a little bit of a picture of what we believe. We've spent about 5 weeks kind of looking at how do we see church, what do we see we're responsible for, how do we want to organize, what are the things, the primary ways we want to keep emphasizing what it means to be the people of God. And if I could step up really, really high and say, well, what God wants to see when he sees us is a picture of himself, which is this interconnected oneness. this mutual agreement that we are one thing. For this season and this time, we are one thing in His sight. And that's His call to us to express it. And then there's leadership function in that, and then there's responsibilities of the flock. And we both have responsibilities in this oneness. As we think about church, this is a question that resonates in my heart. What did those who heard Jesus teach, who said, He said to them personally, go do this, what did they do? How did they organize? How did they put their hand to the plow to accomplish what Jesus gave them to do? And so we emphasize this understanding of the New Testament as prescriptive, as a pattern to be followed. And we're still mining that out. What does that mean for kingdom expansion? What does that mean for all kinds of things? But for sure in church polity and the way He wanted His people organized, it's a pretty big deal. Okay? So, in leadership, there's a basic stewardship. Answering the call, feed my sheep or care for my sheep. Be the under-shepherd underneath Jesus. The responsibilities of the flock can be summarized pretty simply. It is to be responding to that headship of the chief shepherd through cooperating with his under-shepherds. It's kind of at a basic level, that's the division there. Okay. So what's the value of local church? There's lots of people in our culture and around the world who see that as someplace you attend or to belong, but to really take that oneness, interconnected oneness to that whole other level, it's really not present. A couple things to understand. Churches are God-ordained system for caring for His people, to bring them into community, to create this environment where they're known, they're being known, they are knowing, they're caring. I don't know if you understand this, but after the book of Malachi, there's about 400 years of nothing. Synagogues came into being at that time, which was the perfect precursor to the local church. Before that time, they didn't have those local assemblies. And so God was working through His people to establish these little communities where what was important to God, there was this catalyst, this dust particle for a snowflake to gather around and form. And that's really how the church was born. It was an outflow of these little gatherings of people saying, who are we? What do we believe? Who's God? What does He want? And continuing to reorient into that. So that's one important facet. It's also an opportunity for local churches to contextualize the gospel, to step into different places at different times. And if you look at church history, you see how critically important this can be. Because if you do not somehow, through language and music and manner and teaching models, somehow contextualize it, what it means to be a Jesus follower in this place, at this time, in this people group, you can see how it just becomes this outward conformity. So that we have an opportunity as a local body to contextualize the gospel, not just for Loveland or Colorado, but for specific people that God may want us to be involved in caring for and ministering to. We also have it creates a manageable system of relationships where we're actually known, where you can know the leader. It's not just a title out there, and I come from a tradition where a title is all that matters. If you got that title, then I'm going to relate to you in a certain way. And I see this picture in the scriptures of knowing and caring and involvement and understanding of who this person is, this great love of Paul for every church that he planted or preached the gospel in or wrote letters to, this incredible relationship. So the local church gives us an opportunity to actually live life in such a way that if I say something, it should either agree with or disagree with what you see in my life. And it can give us safety and getting security and a sense of being known. And that's true for all of us. Unless we're really, really posing. It also gives us a place to seek to honor God's words, God's name, and God's mission together. To practically work that out in our culture, in our time, in our families, in our neighborhoods, where this becomes our burden. Okay, so we think about these understandings of what, do we see this the same? There's a passage in Ephesians 4 that I think is pretty important, beginning in verse 11. I'm just going to read a little bit of this to start with. But when we think about what is the role of leadership and what is the role of the flock and how do we really make that work. And Nathan may share this again, but I just want to understand, I want us to just set this up real quick. Now, these are the gifts Christ gave to the church: the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, and the pastors and the teachers. And those are leadership roles. Those are ones who are called as shepherds. And they have a specific role. Their responsibility is to equip God's people to do his work and build up the church, the body of Christ. And so when we understand that primary function, it is an equipping function. And at a very high level, the church has a number of things. The church is a family. It's this place of relationship. It's a place of care. It's where we live out Romans 12, relationship. Hebrews 10, encourage one another daily. It's this place where we do all of that. It is also an organism or a body. The 1 Corinthians 12, that we're all important, that we're all significant. This is this living, diverse thing with all, it's interdependent for sure, all under the head, and it requires a participation. A family, you can just kind of be there. But when we own this organism, this body, this living thing that God wants to be the head of and direct and move according to his will, we need to take on this organism and body. And in these two functions, leadership is significantly less important. It's still important. You need a father. You need direction. But there's not a lot. If it's a mature family, it's a mature organism, the hierarchy is a lot less significant because we can all kind of tie to the Father, and we can all stay in step with the Heavenly Father, or we can all stay in step with the head of the body, Jesus. We could do that pretty well. Obviously, we need to encourage each other and remind each other, but it's less important. But it's also an organization. It is also an organization. At this place, the hierarchy becomes a little more important because someone is responsible. God gives responsibility to the organization, to shepherds. There are specific responsibilities before God. And there's a leadership direction that has to be set. It's true as a family, it's true as a body. But this is where it really matters that we do it well. This is because he established this. Someone gives an account. And that organizational, we have a mission in this organization. It's not about building more here or becoming more here or managing a Sunday gathering or managing small groups. It's about managing this mission, God's interests in the earth, and equipping and training and helping people move forward in that. And in that organization, mission, it involves a war. There's a war going on, and this is where leadership can be so important. Somebody who gets their eyes up and goes, where are the attacks coming from? We have an enemy, a real enemy, a person who hates us and wants to destroy us. His kingdom is darkness, and he's constantly attacking God's people. It's an important function of leadership. We need to be reminded that we are also at war with our flesh, that we have passions within us that are waging war. They're contrary to the agenda of God. And there's also a war with this world, a system at odds, a world system that's at odds with the purposes of God. And we will never be at home here. We can function. We can be at relative peace on the outside, but we will always be in hostile territory. And if we're thinking right, if we're experiencing life rightly, we will always be longing for what we were made for. There's a war going on, and that becomes very, very important. Okay. This is the end of it. When we do it well, when we live out the function of the ecclesia well, this is the target. Ephesians 4:11 through 16. Then we will no longer be immature like children, or I'm sorry, it's about 13 through 16. We won't be tossed and blown about by every wind of new teaching. We will not be influenced when people try to trick us with lies, so clever they sound like the truth. Instead, we will speak the truth in love, growing in every way more and more like Christ, who is the head of his body, the church. He makes the whole body fit together perfectly, and as each part does its own special work, it helps the other parts grow so that the whole body is healthy and growing and full of love. That's what we're shooting for. Not great organization, not great graphics. We can use all those things, and it'd be amazing, but this is the target. This is the target, and it takes a different attitude than showing up and observing. It involves a willingness to be trained, a A willingness to cooperate, a willingness to see with the eyes of God that we are in hostile territory. And our hope is not in this world. And to fix our eyes on the hope that will be revealed on that day. Now, we can enjoy this place, but to find our home in it, okay? So, now we'll separate out into kind of these the pastoral and the flock. The pastoral affirmations, it's this call. It's just a stewardship from God. This probably should be one word, shouldn't it? I might have been in a little bit of a hurry on that slide. Yeah, a stewardship. Who is steward? So, we'll give Nathan a little opportunity here to just share some things on his heart, but just to really understand that fundamentally what it means to be a pastor is taking responsibility for something from God.
Yeah, just get a chance to share with you guys a little bit of my heart this morning. Sheree was kind of asking me, you know, how you feeling? And I think the best way to, I think there's moments in all of our lives where we have kind of these moments of heavy joy, sober joy. When I got married, I remember a sober joy. With kids, with big steps. And so it's with a sober joy this morning that I just want to share with you guys my heart. And before I share any of these commitments of my heart, of what I'm committing to pursue as officially walking into this, you know, installation always makes me feel like I'm a furnace. whatever this is, that faithfulness to me is a really, 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 really big deal. And I've shared that at different times. But faithfulness is at the core, I think, of a lot of how I see God and of a lot of my aspirations just for my life. I'd rather much be a faithful person with little to show for it than all the big things in the world. And I did a race yesterday that finished in Loveland, and they gave you a medal to finish. And on the back, it just says finisher. And I was just thinking, how appropriate is that? That it doesn't matter what place I got. It's the goal is that we all get to that place where we look and we say, I've got the medal that says finisher. I finished the task. And that's what Paul was after. That's what I'm after. That's what I want to commit to for all of us to finish well, whatever it might look like. And I don't know also the future, like Pat was saying. I don't think next week the walls are going to be green or anything like that. But what we're committing to is to walking through this future together and to run this race together to finish well. So just some things that God put on my heart that I just wanted to publicly, if I could personally say this to each one of you, I would. But this is like a covering to each one of you, to this body, to this flock, that today I am committing to pursue leading willingly and eagerly as God would have me. That first and foremost, it's a heart condition for me to first connect with the Lord in a willing and eager way. I'm committing in my family as well to being an example to you guys and to remember that our lives are meant to be examples, to feed the flock, like Pat shared, to protect the flock, whatever that might be, to protect this flock, to strengthen the weak, to pray for the sick, to bind up the injured, to work to bring back the strayed, to seek the lost, and to not lead with force or harshness, to be a shepherd that looks on your behalf. That's what I'm going to pursue after. I'm going to pursue clothing myself with humility towards each one of you. I'm not going to be perfect, but that's what I'm pursuing. That's what I'm committing to pursue. I'm committing to not shrink back from declaring the whole counsel of God, whatever might be profitable for anyone, to teach both in public and from house to house, to commit to pay careful attention to my own heart, to pay careful attention to myself, knowing that a lot of what works in my heart flows downstream to so many things. Committing to care for you, for the church. When you hear church, I hope you hear me, like the church's people, to care for you, remembering that God, that Jesus obtained you with his own blood, and that I am stewarding this, that I'm going to have to give an account one day for how I stewarded this. And I joyfully take that on. Committing to a lifestyle and an attitude of Jesus when he said, whoever would be great among you must be your servant, and whoever would be first among you must be your slave, even as the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve. That's what I'm committing to, is to being a servant, to serve each one of you. And in just some ways in which that care might look, just ways that God was bringing to mind for me in supporting each other, committing to support this flock and you individually in a common pursuit of God and his mission on the earth and in all the nooks and crannies of life, all the little things and all the big things, to support each other, to encourage you as disciples of Jesus first and foremost, and all the more as the day approaches, through life's difficulties and trials, and to fight for courage together in this world. I'm committing to appreciate each one of you in all the various gifts and diversity of effects and all the ways in which God has made us different, to appreciate those differences and to celebrate those, and to respect you and the individual callings that God has put on your life, that you are made in his image, that I'm going to pursue to not trample on what God has made beautiful, but to respect that, to not trample on each other's faith, and to accept you in Christ, knowing that we're going to be a church here for just a little bit. We're going to be the church for eternity together. And the acceptance that we shared now, we're going to be singing right next to each other for eternity, forever. And so I accept you in Christ. That is the basis for our inclusion together this morning, based on his words and his work. I'm going to cooperate together with you in the mission of God to see disciples made, to see lost be found, to see those that don't know him to become part of this family, and to honor God's word and to not go beyond what is written, to honor any time that I teach that I'm supposed to speak the very words of God. These are his words, not mine. To seek to study the word, to do it and to obey it and to teach it. And I'm committing to robust fellowship with you. Robust means full of vigor. It means there's going to be forgiveness and bearing with one another, working through offenses and hurts together, to seek oneness and unity, that I'm committing to work through all of that, no matter what may come, relationally, to work through that with you. And lastly, there's just a verse that God put on my heart from Judges. I think it was the song of Deborah. But it says that the leaders took the lead in Israel, and that the people offered themselves willingly. Blessed be the Lord. And so today I am standing officially to be installed as somebody to lead in that servant heart. And I love being with you guys. You guys are my people. It's been an awesome last 10 months or so. And I'm just excited to be here. So thank you for this heavy joy.
We think about this stewardship from God and the headship of Christ. I think it's really, really important to just kind of settle, because we can both make a mistake about pastoral leadership, those who are serving in that and those who are receiving pastoral leadership or pastoral care. We can both have, I think, incorrect attitudes. And what we want to really make sure that all of us together are all looking at this very same, there's Jesus, and he's given us different roles and gifts and et cetera to accomplish his will, his purpose. Here's the two ways that I see it often happening, and I resist them greatly. Number one is the congregants can feel like you're working for us. We are the employer. And in many cases, that's actually how people are organized. They're hired and fired based on how well, you know, their job reviews and how well they're doing rather than their character effect. It's not a conversation. It's not a commitment. It's not a relationship. It's just you are a hireling, and Jesus had some warnings about that. And so to be guarding yourself, the goal of pastoral leadership is not to do something so someone else doesn't have to do it, but that Ephesians 4 picture of equipping so that we can all grow up into the maturity of Christ. There's also an imbalance that can occur from pastoral leadership, and it is a TPM moment. I do get triggered whenever I hear, and if I ever say it, please throw something at me immediately, because it will be a slip of the tongue. It is not my attitude. When you start hearing a pastor thinking and communicating like my people, my teaching, my church, did you exist to build my machine, my vision? That ain't my vision. Now, we're responsible to figure out what God's vision, that's what we spent so much time talking about. God, what do you want? What's important to you? And what can we build that reflects that? And then trust you with the fruit. It's a very different attitude. We have to speak vision one to another, or we'll lose track. There won't be any direction. There won't be any vector. But the job of the pastor is not to establish a vision. And when I'm in meetings with guys and I hear them say that, it's just, I mean, I literally shudder. Stop it. Stop it. Don't do that. It's not yours. This is God's. You are caring for something that is God's. Be very careful. And having a big vision is not my responsibility. Seeing God's big vision is our responsibility, and participating with it. And that's really the call for all of us here. And that just is an understanding of our commitment one to another. As pastors, our first care is for one another, that we are called to watch out for each other, that we're managing and increasing in faith, that our life is a good picture, and we have conversation and we test each other's doctrine and do that in community and unity. We inspire, encourage one another to be ministering and understanding that this is what we're supposed to be doing in ministry, is feeding, leading, and interceding, and we want to be calling each other and maintaining that kind of accountability and encouragement towards one another. So now all that's left is, what are you going to do with this? And I want to go through these affirmations, and they're not complete. They were just things that were important to me because I'm receiving a pastor. Even though we're functioning at legally, he's on the board. All that's true. This is more of a ceremony. What I tried to communicate in this flock affirmation is, how do I see this as a member of this flock receiving pastoral care? Because that's happening. At the same time, He's joining me, and we're presenting ourselves as an elder team. I am also a member of this body, and he is becoming pastor to me. And so these are the things that I really wanted to affirm and see rightly, and to feel the right weight for as a responsibility as a member of this body. And most of them are self-explanatory, but we'll go through them quick, and then we'll let you say them. By receiving Nathan as elder and pastor, I affirm that I am receiving a necessary gift from God to me personally and to this household of faith. It's a gift. And so often that God is giving us things and we push it away. We don't embrace it. It happens all the time in the marriage relationship. We don't accept the gift that is our mate as God designed them, and disdain and resist and stay isolated. This is a choice I have to make. I affirm that. I affirm my responsibility to properly honor and follow Nathan as a direct expression of trust in God's sovereign leadership and guidance. Hierarchy biblically is not someone has power, some human has power. It is recognizing that God has power, and he's instructed us to demonstrate that he's in control and he has a right to lead by honoring that human authority. Very different. It's very different. It's an expression of confidence in God and his system, not even the trustworthiness or the worthiness of any particular person that may hold a human institution of authority. Now, hopefully we get good ones. But even if we don't, I am responsible to trust God with the system. I affirm his right to be authentic about areas of struggle and doubt and grant him freedom to fail, supporting him on his journey to Christ-likeness. the greatest pressures that pastors can feel is that somehow they can't actually have any challenges. They can't be struggling with anything. And that is not one of the qualifications biblically. Generally, we're called to be together enough that we're a good example. But that doesn't mean there's not deep things that God is still driving out of our hearts. I affirm my responsibility to pray for, support, and care for the whole Hirota family as children of God, as disciples, fellow members, recognizing the unique pressure of leadership and soul care ministry. There are unique pressures on kids, on life. A sense of responsibility with not in right balance can be crushing. Can be crushing. It's part of my responsibility to help manage and bear that burden. And I affirm my responsibility to participate in the responsibility for the financial support and well-being of Nathan and his whole family. This is an important piece in our culture. The way we do things, we don't get to go out and glean someone's field. It's not the way it operates here. And for him to be able, and he and his family, to function well, taking off that burden that, man, I got to resolve the resource challenge. I'm constantly having to resolve the resource challenge. That's the flock's job. A worker is worthy of his wages. In the same way, it's always been with God, that those who are preaching the gospel and ministering to God's people make their living from it. That is our responsibility to participate in. Shouldn't be walking around going, gee, I hope I get to feed my kids tomorrow. No soldier serves at his own expense. He has to go mine his own lead, make his own bullets. We have to take that responsibility together. So that's our affirmations of the way we see those things. Here's what I want to do. I'm going to read these again. And if you want to make those affirmations, it doesn't matter if you want to say it. I want you to say them out loud, though. You don't have to stand up. You don't do anything. But if you believe that, if you want to affirm this, if you want to look at all this all together and make these affirmations, then you just read with me. Okay? And then we're going to have Nathan. Is Kimberly here? Is he in the back? Okay, there you are. Bring them up, and a few of us can pray for them and their well-being and their provision and ministry, and then we'll eat and party. At least eat. Yeah, yeah. We're going to find a corner of the kitchen to install the fridge here. Yeah. Okay, so read with me if you're a mind to. If not, you're free to pass. I affirm that I am receiving a necessary gift from God to me personally and to this household of faith. I affirm my responsibility to properly honor and follow Nathan as a direct expression of trust in God's sovereign leadership and guidance. I affirm his right to be authentic about areas of struggle and doubt and grant him freedom to fail, supporting him on his journey to Christ-likeness. I affirm my responsibility to pray for, support, and care for the entire Hirota family as children of God, as disciples, fellow members, recognizing the unique pressures of leadership and soul care ministry. I affirm my responsibility to participate in the responsibility for the financial support and well-being of Nathan and his whole family. Amen. Well, Father, we do receive the Hirotas. Thank you. It is a team effort. And we pray now that you would honor him. And as we bring him up, God, and thank you for his life and ministry. And God, commit ourselves to being the body of Christ together in interconnected oneness. Jesus' name. So if anybody would like to come up and pray for Nathan, that'd be great. Come on up. Yep. Just come out in the middle bit here a little bit.
Jesus, I pray for the Herodes. I pray for the blessing they've already been. Thank you for the blessing they've already been to all of us here, God. Relating with us, be able to care for us, and be glad as well. So pray that we can continue to trust his leadership. We can continue to love them by how we are able to relate with them. Be able to feel their care, be able to feel their love. I just pray that we can be submitted to you.
Lord, I agree. I just thank you for this gift. This is a gift from you that we have a man here who wants to lead your flock well, Father. And I just pray that you give him wisdom, discernment, and I just pray for a blessing in his life, that that we as a body would bless him, and that as he becomes a blessing to our family, and he already has been. And, like a furnace that popped in my head, I pray that he would be burned brightly, that he would just be one that's just hot and for you, Father, and that he just sets his life on fire. And he's just such a precious man and such a good example. And I pray that others would see that and that he would just continue to protect him and guard his family as he continues to work on his own heart and the hearts of others. And just I pray that you just use this man mightily in your kingdom, whether it's here in Loveland or other places that he travels to. I just pray that that you would use him.
But thank you for your gracious gift to this church. Lord, your gift to us is your leadership. You lead us into that which is good. And you give us the gift of leaders, apostles, and prophets, and pastors, and teachers. Thank you, God, for what will come in, just this past year, the future that will be different. Because there is now a team of leaders here, united together, seeking your face, for your will for this body and this town. And I just praise you, God, for what will come and what will be, because it's your plan, and you begin a piece of it right here.
I agree with all these prayers, and similar to Nathan and Kimberly and their marriage, God, I pray that you would give them oneness in marriage, that their marriage would be a light and an example to everyone around them, God. Their marriage would be a picture of what you imagined marriage to be when you conceived the idea. And God, I pray for their children as well. And I pray that you would give them unity as a family. I pray that you would protect your children. I believe that they will be attacked just because they're standing for you, and however that may look like, that you give them wisdom, discernment, to parent wisely, and protection for their kids. And just that they would thrive and flourish and bear fruit here as a family.
Yeah. God, I just appreciate our family and their faith, just inviting you and trusting you. Come down here. For the last few months, I get to know them. The love that they have for the body, just the desire to bring good and life, help people connect to you, see others outside of the body, connect to you, to be reconciled to the Father. So, yeah, I just appreciate their faith, desire to walk with you and see your good come into this world, our body, into Loveland. And just continue to be with them, go before them, make people steps, stand in faith in them, and ask that you're done.
I agree, Lord. Thank you for my brother, thank you for his family, God. Thank you for being our God, thank you for choosing them, God, from eternity past, Lord, you knew this day would be here. God, you had a plan for it. You prepared them for this, God. And thank you, God. That is a gift we want to receive from you. And I do pray, God, for I agree with all prayers, Lord. I pray for us as flock is your body, Lord, that we were honoring the servants. We just made God bring them to mind that we could be a support and a blessing to the Herodas, God, as they are a support and blessing to us, God. We just pray that we mutually be able to encourage each other by faith, Lord, we submit to you, God, and the worship you brought. We just tell you today, God, it is a gift from you. We recognize that, acknowledge that. Help us remember and see you as the source of all good, God. Agree with just prayers of blessing after blessing on the road as the marriage, the family, we are thankful
for it. We just want to celebrate today, Lord. I'm celebrating with all the folks in this room, just that Ethan, Kimberly, and their kiddos are part of our body. God, I was excited as I heard the list that Nathan read of the commitments he's making, because I believe I've already seen him doing all of those things. He's already humble. He's already committed to our success as a body, and just on down the line, Lord, just thank you for who you brought here to be part of our family here.
Father, I thank you so much for this precious family, Lord. And I thank you that you do just have a perfect plan and purpose working in and through their lives. Thank you so much that they have hearts that desire to be surrendered towards you, God, and just trusting you fully with that purpose and that plan. And God, I just thank you so much for their precious hearts and friendship and just an opportunity to walk with them and learn from them and grow them, just to pursue a deeper relationship with you, God. That's such a blessing. I pray for your hand over them and their lives and their marriage and their kids and parenting and just shepherding a flock, God, and all of what that entails, God. I just pray for your divine grace, Lord. I just pray that they can experience your grace, your truth, your love abundantly, God. I just pray that they can be working in each one of their hearts and just allowing them to grow and dive into a deeper relationship with you every day.
Amen, Lord. I pray you just honor these affirmations today. You listen to these prayers. You would allow us to flourish according to your plan. We want to be found faithful. We want to be found in faith. Help us to honor one another in love. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.